All right, let's continue from where we stopped last time. I just want to explain something to us briefly. It's our school of prayer once again today. Last time we did a lot of talking about the fact that we have to pray all the time. And I was trying to emphasize to us again that every aspect of life we have to handle with a matter of prayer. And you see, God answers prayers in different ways. And I think I need to emphasize that again. And for me, one of the most striking ways by which he answers prayers is by the impartation of wisdom. What did I call it? Impartation of wisdom. You know, today something struck me as I was listening in my car, that the Bible says that, you know, God said to Isaiah, he said that, go and say to these people, hear and do not understand, see and do not perceive. He was explaining some things to them. He said to him, he said, if you don't do that, there's a chance that they may understand, and then they will turn, and then they will be healed. Do you follow that point? Now, let me just see that. Where you say that again, just to emphasize. Okay, that's in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 6. He said, okay, from verse 9. He now said in verse 10, let's start from verse 9 again. He said, go and tell these people, keep on listening and do not perceive. Keep on looking, do not understand. Render the hearts of these people insensitive. Their ears dull. That is, by your prophesying, what you will do is to make sure that you will create insensitivity in them and that their eyes dim. He said, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. Now, something struck me as I heard that again today. It was playing on tape. That, you know, God does not desire that anybody should perish, but that everybody should come to what? To repentance. I was reading that. Something struck me. That I said, lest they return and be healed. And the version of the Bible I was listening to said, lest they turn and they are healed. Now, this was what struck me about it. I began to doubt in my mind. I don't think God was saying that he didn't want them to repent. Do you understand my point? I think what he was saying is that there is a way. Bible says that the way of peace they know not. That is, there is a way that leads to peace. What that means simply is that there is a way that people will walk and it will produce peace in their lives. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that there are proper things to do, which is different from just a matter of sin and iniquity now. That is, if a man is a wicked man and God wants to, how do I say it? There is a way he will still do things, all right? There are proper things he will do that will make his house happy. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain, all right? As different from the area in which judgment for his wickedness is going to come. What I mean is this. If God wants to destroy that man, his destruction comes, one of the major ways it comes, which is Isaiah was saying, is that God will remove the ability to perceive what is going on. Do you understand? All right, from him. For example, maybe Isaiah is prophesying that Jesus was telling disciples, when you see the mountain, the armies begin to gather around Jerusalem, then know that her desolation is near. Now, everybody that will be destroyed there will be because of his sin and because of his iniquity. But anybody that's inside that place will be destroyed. So what God did was to preserve his own people that he didn't want to judge. He gave them the ability to understand how to recognize when destruction will come. Do you understand my point? And then they will obey that word and then they will be delivered. So what God was saying is simple. That he said to Isaiah, go and render the ears of these people dull. He was saying that because I want to judge them, all right, they will see the armies gather around Jerusalem, but they will not run because they don't understand the implication of the armies gathering around Jerusalem. He wasn't telling Isaiah that I don't want them to repent at all. If they had the ability to repent, they could go ahead and repent. But what he was saying is that the warning that's coming, they won't understand it. They will see calamity about to descend, and they will still be rejoicing. You will see, in fact, you know, this funny thing about Hurricane Katrina. I don't know how many of you remember Hurricane Katrina a few years ago, that drowned people in New Orleans, flooded the whole city, drowned the whole city. All right? Till now, they have not fully recovered. I watched documentaries about the whole thing. The night before the judgment. So people were still partying that, let's party, Joe. Tomorrow we may be underwater. I don't know what I'm going to explain. That is, they understood something. They knew that this place could drown, but they didn't understand that they could run. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm explaining. They understood, and they were there because one of the most licentious cities on the earth, all right? That's New Orleans. It's one of the most licentious cities on this earth today, as of today. New Orleans is a horrible place, all right? There's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of immorality. There's a lot of all kinds of evil in that place. Now, judgment, look, forget it. It was judgment. Judgment was coming, and they were dancing about it. Now, what I hear say, flood, if you come, now we will party the whole night. It may be our last party. You know what has happened? The ability to understand judgment was removed from them. Do you follow the point that they make? All right? In fact, if you go and read that book of Revelations, I was going through the book the other time, and I noticed something that, you see, they said that judgment will come, there will be destruction on the earth, the people will still not repent. And I said, why? You know the reason? Because God didn't give them the ability to connect the judgment with their iniquity. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. That is the issue, is that they wouldn't have the ability to connect what is going on. And it's happening today in the world. The other day, you know, I was listening to one of the messages we preached then. And, you know, HIV is there. AIDS is there. It's a serious problem till today. What's his name? This Candle in the Wind guy. Elton John. You know, Elton John, I just heard one of those messages I preached a few years ago. We're editing for radio again. And I heard myself say it. Elton John, I was watching him on TV that time. And he was angry with George Bush. Why was he angry with George Bush? He was president that time. All right? That the interview was granted. That George Bush was supporting, George Bush Jr. was supporting programs that promoted abstinence. Do you understand me? And he said, it's not right. Because abstinence does not work. And I laughed. How will he know whether it works or not? He's a homosexual. How will he know whether it works or not? He doesn't believe in God. How will he know whether it works or not? And so he was saying, in effect, this is the effect of it. The AIDS epidemic, the HIV epidemic, has nothing to do with promiscuity. It is not judgment for our sins. It is our lack of condoms. Do you understand? He said that why should George W. Bush be putting money into programs that promote abstinence? That's a waste of money. What am I saying all of these things? The issue is that the ability to connect the judgment to the iniquity has been removed. Therefore, men will persist in their iniquity. Therefore, more troubles, that is, their problems that started their troubles, more troubles will come upon them because of more judgment and because of more iniquity that they are persisting in. I'm bringing an issue here. So you see, when God wants to bless somebody, that's why I don't know why I had to explain it for that long. When God wants to bless you, the major thing he gives you is wisdom. He helps you connect. Listen, if you're having financial trouble, my experience in life as of today is that most people that have financial troubles, their problem is lack of wisdom. Most. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, you need this thing. Buy it. He said, I don't have money. I said, at your level in life, you see, your problem, let me paraphrase everything we said. I said, your problem is that you don't have financial sense. Yes, I told him straight. I said, you don't know how to manage your money. Let me give an example. You tell a man, let's say, buy a coat, you need to wear a jacket. And he says, no, I can't. Why? I'm planning to buy a car. I said, how can you not buy a coat because you're planning to buy a car? I won't sit on that. What I just want to bring out is that you find that most of the time, what people lack is what? Wisdom. We were talking last time about praying all the time, and I'm emphasizing to you again, one major way by which God answers prayers is through the impartation of what? Wisdom. And I just showed us that a lot of people who are under judgment, one thing God takes away from them, first of all, is wisdom. They see things, they don't understand what is going on. They will see the cause of their problems. They will not be able to tie it, all right, with the problems. So they will persist in doing that which is bad. Meanwhile, that is the thing that is causing their problem. And they are praying every day. So if you pray about every problem in life, that was what I was going to say last time. Don't ever think something is too small for the Lord to handle. No. There's nothing like that. Every little bit of issue that comes across your way, what do? You pray about it. And that's one of the ways by which we pray continually. That's one of the ways by which we do what? Pray continually. If your car, in fact, the other day happened again, after I finished preaching the message here, I had an issue when I got home with my wife's car. She was not around, so I wanted to help her fix a few things. before she came. So I explained to the mechanic, this is what the issue is. By the time he said, okay, I'll do this, the whole problem will be gone. And when he finished doing that, the problem did not go. Another problem showed up. And he's a very intelligent mechanic, a man who I respect his ability so much. So now said, oh, okay, that it was now night. So, all right, I should bring the car back. And he'll fix that new problem that arose. Do you understand? And then this is now the major way he will solve the new problem. He said that one, he will need a day and a half to offload the whole dashboard of the car to solve a small problem. Just that the small problem he wants to solve is hidden somewhere deep. It's very small. But, I looked at the car. I respect the guy a lot anyway. If he dismantles the car, he will couple it back and nothing spoil. But if it's an average mechanic, I would say, leave the car like that. Don't worry. We'll go to the driver and so. But when I got home that day, I said, no, my father in heaven, I don't want this guy to go through this on this car. I just don't like the idea of dismantling the vehicle. So I prayed. I thought it, you understand? I believe it, so I applied it. I just simply lay down on my bed and I said, Lord, about this car, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, please, no dismantling, no problem. Solve this issue the smallest and easiest and most possible way. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then what happened was that I woke up next day to start the car. If I saw him today, and I said, okay, what about that? He told me to bring the car back to solve that problem that arose after he tackles the car, trying to solve something. I told him that, no, next day when I woke up, I started the car, and that one vanished. All right? Whether an angel went there and corrected it, or the wisdom to just relax and wait for the vacuum to be regenerated, I don't know. But I was glad that one was solved. As I began to drive the car, I noticed something else. The other downloading of the whole dashboard, I drove to him today. I said, listen, I don't think that thing will be necessary. He said, why do I think so? I suddenly had the wisdom. I said, no, I think this is what the problem will be. So he and I discussed it. And he said, yes, he thinks I'm right. So we don't have to offload the dashboard again. He said, that wouldn't be necessary. What do we do? It's a small thing he will do. When I have time, I should please bring the car back. And that will be the end of it. I just asked him a few questions around. He said, no, it's not a problem. That will be fixed in a few minutes. It is because sometimes these cars are parked for long. He's a smart guy. I'm trying to bring an issue here. When it came to fixing the car, I prayed about it. How many of us bother to pray about the problems with our cars? Let me tell you about your health. Before you run to the doctor, pray. You know I'm a doctor. You know I'm a doctor. How many of you know? If you know, say amen. Amen. All right, if you don't know, don't worry. I know, now I've told you. You know why I'm saying so? I think human beings have too much trust in my profession. We are not worthy of half of that trust. Did I say half? Maybe I meant 25%. Why people trust us so much is because of hopelessness. They don't know where else to go. If they know the depth, and don't forget, I'm a specialist. I work amongst specialists. So I wonder what people go through when they meet all these half-baked ignoramuses that they call doctors on the road. Yes. Real ones, I don't mean fake doctors. But when you are not a specialist, there are a lot of things you don't know. I work among specialists, and I understand the depth of ignorance and the volume of mistakes that we make. Many women that have encountered their breasts removed for nothing. Just that the doctor smoked before he wrote the report. Yes, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about it. You make a legitimate mistake, the other doctors think, and I'm telling you, people have had unnecessary surgeries. Not because the doctor is a wicked soul, but because he doesn't know more than that. Because he's but what? Flesh. That's why the Bible says, cursed is a man who trusts in the doctor. I'm not saying see the doctor on the road tomorrow. I'm beginning to abuse the guy. The guy is, is a country of the blind. It's a world of sick and ignorant people. They have the one-eyed man amongst them is the doctor. Amen? I'm just trying to say, don't put all your faith and don't put all your trust in him. He's not as good as you say. I don't mean Nigerian doctors. I mean doctors generally. Whether you are from Malawi, Nigeria, Australia, North America, they are all the same thing. Let me give you an example. I was teaching students today. I said, listen, before, They said that once you hit the age of, is it 40 or 50? I can't even remember. It doesn't matter now whether I remember or I don't, because they've said it's a lie now. They said once you hit the age of 40 or 50 as a man, you should go and check your PSA level every year. PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. When it is elevated, if it's high, they are trying to check for whether you have prostate cancer, because it's the number one cancer in men. And the older you get, the more likely you are to get it. All right? When you're about to enter middle age, you're supposed to go every year or periodically and check. And it's a small test. They take blood from you. They run a test in the lab. If your test, your result is high, then the doctor will say, it's high. So we'll now go and look into your prostate to see whether there's cancer forming. Do you know the man who invented the test? All right? In the 70s. As of last year, he said it has been the most colossal waste of funds ever in medical practice. As of last year, he said the test is not better than tossing a coin. Did you hear what I said? I'm not sure you heard what I said. That the man said, instead of running this test, just come, let them just toss a coin, head or tail, you have prostate cancer. If the coin says head, then you have. If it says tail, yeah, you don't have. He said that is the amount of effect it has. This is the man who invented it. The conclusion now is that it has caused more problems than it ever solved. If you heard of mammography, how many of you have heard of mammography? Women should go have your breast scan so that the debate is still on whether it makes any difference. There is no statistical evidence to prove it helps anybody. That is, half of the medical profession believe that it's a waste of time and a waste of money. The other half say that it's better than nothing. Some people say, no, it's worse than nothing. For example, when it comes to that PSA thing, the teaching now as from last year is that it's worse than nothing. That it's better to get your prostate cancer, let them treat it, than go looking for it when it has not disturbed you. Cost is the man who trusts in flesh. I was teaching my students today. I said, look, I didn't go to church. I said, it's better to go to church. I'm not saying doctors are bad people. That is, they help you. They help you very well a lot of times. But I'm just saying that before you put your faith there, let the doctor be a way by which God solves problems for you. But that guy must not be the source of solution. Are you getting my point? For example, like you go and see, when Isaiah was sick, all right? After he prayed, when they say, put your house in order, all right, because you will die and not live. Then he prayed. Then the prophet went back and gave him the prophecy and all of that. At the end of the day, now said, let them make a cake of fig. How did he say it again? And then let them apply it over the wound. That is, the man was sick, was going to die. The herbs, because they now use the herbs to treat the illness. And he was cured. But you know that the herbal treatment was not the cure. It was a way by which he connected with the cure that God had already determined for him. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, in life, if it is cancer that's disturbing you, before you rule it out, say, don't worry, just take vitamin C, it'll be okay. Oh boy. Now, so some wahala, the taste that too. I don't know whether I get my point. Speak the word to it. That's what I'm saying. That is everything in life. That's one of the things we must learn as believers. I said, I was talking about last time, I actually want to go into something, picking up from that today. I just wanted to connect it. All right? Everything in life is God that for us believers, it's a solution that we are getting from the hands of God. Our lives, any problem we have, we pray about it so that God can give us his solution. It may come as a simple word of wisdom. I told you, when I say word of wisdom, I don't mean supernatural, I perceive that one. There are times for it. Amen? But there are times that it doesn't come, I perceive. A man just comes and says, oh boy, this is what the problem with this thing is. A lot of people are sick. They are confessing. And God says, you know the problem? There's something you're supposed to be eating, you're not eating. Or there's something you're eating, you're not supposed to be eating. That is, this prayer is not necessary. That is, his prayer is good in that you download solution. All right? But just do what I'm saying and the problem is gone. You know, a lot of the problems amongst, especially Africans, is nutritional. Not, did I say Africans? I withdraw it. The whole world. There are two kinds of nutritional problems. There's too much and there's too little. Both of them are a problem. You don't see food chop, you are too thin. No issue. Too much food, you chop on too much, you are too fat. Another set of issues. Please, I hope you're following the principle. Now, a lot of the problems worldwide today is useless diet. Now, this is a problem I have with Christians sometimes, ministers. They now put diet in the center of everything they are doing. I didn't say so. Did I say so? I didn't say you should do that. I'm just saying, when you pray about everything that's in your life, sometimes just little wisdom that God said, this, you shouldn't be eating things like this. It's not good for you. Somebody just says, ah, so I'm always having this problem. Do you eat this thing a lot? I do. You eat it a lot. You shouldn't be eating it a lot. It's not good for you. Then you stop eating, then your problems vanish. That's what I mean when I say one of the greatest ways by which God solves problems for people is that He gives them wisdom. When I was getting married that time, there was a time I needed money. I don't know whether I'll give you the testimony. Yes, I've given the testimony. If I needed money, plenty of it. Ah! I don't exhaust everything. And you know, last time I was talking about worry, right? That's why I told you then that I wake up instead of sleeping. I think I'm not worried though, but I'm planning. I'm not worried, I'm just planning. So one of those days, I discovered this is a sign of worry. Actually, my wife came to see me, and I was sharing the word of God with her, you know. First from 1 Timothy chapter 6. It said, instruct those that are rich in this world not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but instruct them to be generous, you understand? To be ready to share, not of that. This is summary. Let them give. Let them be free givers, all right? I finished preaching it, and I was preaching to somebody. I was explaining to her that, you see, this is a problem, that... And I said, one of the signs that you're worried, you're not walking in faith, is lack of generosity. Because in that 1 Timothy chapter 6, read from verse 17, you will hear what Paul was saying to Timothy. Now, what do you do, Timothy? Tell them that if you are rich, all right, don't put your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but put your faith in God, who gives us all things to be to enjoy. He said, instruct them to be generous, to be rich in good works, to be ready to share. I said, listen, what he was saying in effect is that if a man is not generous, if he's not rich in good works, and he's not ready to share, it is because his faith is in riches. And the Bible says it is uncertain. I finished preaching it to the woman where I was about to marry in a few weeks. I discovered that I was preaching to myself. Why? Because over the last few weeks and months that we have been preparing, every bit of naira and kobo I got was going towards this matter. I was not generous. I was not able to share. I don't want to use the word they deserve. Able was what I said. As soon as I finished preaching it, it was as if the Holy Spirit said, you hear so? Do you know that the little money I had a friend who was wedding a week before. We wedded on the 11th. He wedded on the 4th. A week before. Then I took some of the money. I went to him. I said, oh boy, I know you are spending, no? This wedding thing is an issue. Take. Let me just support. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. We're in the same boat, earning the same salary, having similar problems, but I took from the uncertainty of riches. You understand what I'm saying? I took, but the Bible said that the son I have not worried, I took from it and gave him. I went to church the following Sunday. I put some money in the envelope. Ah, Augusta, this, you've been a blessing. I gave pastor. I shared money around. I said, Lord, I do not trust in the uncertainty of riches. Now, I said, the greatest thing God gives is what? Wisdom. I went to my friend's office, John. We're planning, we're printing cards and doing programs. So we're just talking. Then the Holy Spirit came upon him and he began to prophesy. But he did not know he was prophesying. We're just talking. He said, oh boy. He talk, go there, say, look, if there's no money, there's no money. You know, there's a way he spoke that day. It suddenly dawned on me that if you don't have this money, what will happen? I don't know how to explain it. Suddenly the Holy Spirit made it clear you don't need it. So I took a piece of paper. Somebody say, wisdom from above. I wrote a letter to my parents-in-law and I gave it to my wife to give them. And she said, she's not going to deliver it. I said, it's not your letter. It's my own. And you will deliver it by force. It was, everybody say, wisdom from above. You know what was inside the letter? I wrote simply to my parents and Lord, I don't have money again. I said, I'm financially exhausted. Those are my words. I said, the money I've spent is a lot. It may not appear like much, but Bishop Oyedepo said, I wrote it like that. Men are in sizes. Life is in phases, and men are in sizes. According to my size, I don't try. My wife said, nah, she knows the deal. I said, listen, my friend, no cause quarrel. Till today, we never talked about it. It's almost 13 years after, we never talked about it. I dispatched the letter, and I left the matter there. And listen, I had peace of mind. That is, what God gave me was wisdom. And he sent his spirit ahead to go and ease everything. Listen, I don't get. What am I going to do? They have been saying in my part of the country. He said, the money that's not there, an enforcer can't collect it. They said, I go beat it to death. Eh? If you can sell the cup, sell it. The Lord is good. What I'm going to remember is what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Hey, look, I believe that people don't pray enough about their problems. They don't pray enough about their challenges. They don't pray enough about the things that are disturbing them. They think too much about it. I believe, a lot of us don't pray. We want a job, we want something. We really don't pray about it. We grumble about it, we complain about it. We don't. If we seriously, listen, one of the problems when it comes, the thing I actually wanted to say today, I've not gotten into it. I just hope I remember so I don't forget. Now, one of the issues with God answering prayers is this. And let's get it clear. God does not always give us what we want. He will always give us what we need. There is a time will come when he will give you anything you want. There are phases in life. There's a phase in which, listen, think about it. My children don't get everything they want. Do you understand that? But I get everything I want. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, if it's within my financial capabilities, I get everything I want. If it's within my financial capabilities, but my children don't get everything that they want within my financial capabilities. I can afford it, but they're not getting it. It's a phase in life. And that's what God does. Sometimes, in a particular phase in life, many of the things you want, he won't give you. But one thing he will always give is that which you need. You know what I'm saying? So, sometimes you pray about something. Like that time, taking my own as an example now. I thought I needed what? Money. And I prayed about it. And as long as I was struggling, before I prayed about it, as long as I was struggling towards it, all right, with all my own resources, it was a distress. I was in distress. It was difficult. But the moment the word of the Lord came unto me through my own mouth, saying, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, the moment I understood it, all right, I flowed with it, then I discovered that money was not what I needed. After all, part of our problem, plus by the maturity of my wife also that time, she has grown some, amen? Has she not grown some? 13 years. You go, don't grow now. She wanted to impress her parents. That's part of it. Yes. She doesn't want anybody to just abuse her husband at all. But what's wrong with abusing me? You abuse me for 1 week. No, be so. You can abuse me if you want. Insult me. I won't answer you back. You're a parent. Then in life, when God has blessed me, abuse me again. You'll no go fit. After all, I was not planning to die that time. It's good to be insulted at the time. Now when you're now praying, say, praise the Lord. It was in the center of the road there that I was insulted that day. Praise God. This is 15 years after. You have prospered. You have been blessed. Now you cannot stand in the center of the road there and be slapping everybody if you wish. And nothing will happen. You won't do that. I'm not going to say, Joseph. If Joseph wanted Mrs. Potiphar, he could not collect her then. And nothing will happen. She'd be now, the disturbance, say, you tried it. I didn't. Okay, now I'm prime minister. Go and bring me Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar. In Egypt, they will have done it. What I'm going to say is that. So life is in phases. So I thought I needed something. God said, that's what you want. What you need is to remove the pride of life. And when the wisdom of God came, it removed the pride of life. A lot of people, they are applying to wear these days. Why they are having this stress? The gown that Amaka used has not left their minds. Let me tell how life is. Don't worry about your gown. Your gown is your mother's gown. Amen? Any gown you are wearing now is your mother's own. The day you will wear your own gown is when your daughter is wedding. I pray you get that revelation. Your wedding now doesn't say anything about what you can do. When you want to know what you can do, it's when your own children are wedding. That's when we'll know what you can do. This year, don't worry. What is all this struggling? Young man, don't worry. Don't worry. Show off. Give us another 20, 23 years. Then you show off that time. Right now, just endure. Must you buy a new coat for the wedding? I'll borrow one. The jacket, they don't use, do they even say, with this jacket, I deal with? No, have you ever seen it before? With this suit, I deal with. And when with this belt, no, there's nothing like that. Even the ring that they use, I've seen men borrow it. I'm not joking. Look, inside church, where are the rings? Guys, they will come out ring for a finger like this. Quickly pass it. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen guys wedding that guys go on top of Okada. They are coming from main market where they have gone to buy a ring for 200 naira. How much did I say? I just added that 200. The thing was 20 naira. The story I'm telling you. Don't worry. God will bless you. Is that your name? Amen. And then when your daughter wants to wed or your son wants to marry, you now go and go to, is it Paris or whatever, and tell them, design that ring and you pay $5,000 for it. That's when you are really wedding. I first heard that from a woman. I read it somewhere. One girl was trying to, she was praying her wedding. And the mother was interfering. So the girl got angry. So the mother, please, this is my wedding. The mother said, no, this is not your wedding. This is my wedding. My own. He said, what about yours? That was my mother's wedding. You have your wedding when your old daughter is getting married. Let me do my wedding. Are you getting my point? And I said, sometimes what we need is what? Wisdom. God just said all this year. Look, listen. I look back. I did not need the shirt I used for my wedding was not necessary. I had a shirt I could have used, but they just deceived me that I had to buy a new shirt. That's true. If you can't buy a suit, just look for one Broadway, get plenty suit, way now your size. So boy, I beg. Now just for one day. After all these days, don't girls hire gowns? Do you know when I was wedding? I don't know whether my wife will remember. I used to say that, why can't they hire these things? I said, why can't this thing be hired? When the people refused to hire gowns that time, they will sew gown. I tell you the cost of the gown where my wife wear. In fact, it's embarrassing now in retrospect. How money will have done the will of God in other things? Listen, oh boy, if I like something about suit, you don't need to hire it. You borrow it. Yeah, you borrow it. Why hire a suit? And you know, sometimes some of these brands are so generous. They say, oh, you don't have a suit for your wedding. Oh, they'll just give you that one. So after the wedding, you don't acquire one extra suit. Praise God. What I'm going to emphasize is the fact that a lot of times, what God gives us actually is what we what need. And sometimes what he's saying is that what you need is wisdom. So sometimes we think he's not answering prayers. He is. It's just that the wisdom that is the answer to that problem, you are refusing it because your eyes are fixated on one thing, what you want, what you think is the solution. You are leaning on your own understanding. When a young man came to an office where I was, and you know, as you grow in life, especially as a believer, you get to learn a lot of things. I was in an office once, they spoke mostly in Igbo. I was speaking with one of my colleagues, he and the young man that came to see him, they were speaking in Igbo. But you know the way it is. You know some Igbo words, you know, and then they mix it with English. So I was following what they were saying. I knew what they were talking about. So after the young man left, so I wanted to interject and tell the young man, look, you don't need this thing. But I said, let me not prolong the gist. I kept quiet. The young man came to meet this other man, the older man that, please, sir, I'm a musician. The guy is a musician. He released an album, and he wanted to sell it. But somebody said that he should do a video. Somebody offered him, he claimed, 300,000 naira for it, or 600, I can't remember. But he said that if they did a video, they could sell it for higher or make more money from the album. He does Christian music. And so he now was now going around looking for money to popularize the album, you know, to do the video and then get the album, you know, popular and all of that, all of that. Now, he came, spoke to the man. The man talked to him extensively. The summary of it is that there's no money for you. But when they were speaking, I was hearing, you know, you hear some things in English, some in Igbo, then you hear some Igbo words, which you know, you know, I mean, if you hear Kudi, even Hausa man knows, if you hear Igbo, even Hausa man knows what Igbo is, praise the Lord. Uh-huh. So I just hear talk. At the end of the day, he now even gave me a summary of what the young man said. I said, when you guys were talking, I wanted to tell the guy, this is a problem in life. Most of the problems people claim money is what they lack is wisdom. What they lack is what? Wisdom. I had the wisdom for him immediately. I said, listen, there's no shortcut to greatness. You do that video, it can bump. You know when something bumps? That is, it does badly. In fact, that guy even told him that, look, which video do you want to do? It's not this annoying video we see on television with people just, you know, dancing like this. The guy told him straight, what nonsense video is that? Now, I had a little wisdom for him. Let me give you the kind of thing I wanted to tell him. Said, listen, you're a Christian. You're a young man. Is your music really good? If it is really good, all right, why don't you start entertaining people during weddings? Just start with that. Have a small band. No matter the little amount of money they pay you, it will feed and clothe you and house you for the weekend, for the week till the next wedding. I had little wisdom like that for him that, listen, stop, take your eyes away from Two-Face. Take your eyes away from, what more of these twins? P-Square. Take your eyes away from them for once and just see how your gift can bless people. If you focus on that, you'll be amazed at how much opportunities you will have to be a blessing to people. I say, when you finish, slip in somewhere, you know, you just say simply say, okay, that music, if you really like it, or sing popular songs and everything, then add your own into it and have your album somewhere for sale outside. If it's really that good, the first one they buy, they've gotten to know you. Anyway, let me not go give you details of the wisdom I'm trying to talk about. The guy was going around begging for money. Let me tell you something. The easier you find begging for money to be, the harder wisdom is for you. What I've told you is the truth. The man who finds it easy to discuss, you know, beg me, give me money, now give me money, give me money. All right? That's a man that finds it harder to download wisdom. I told you before about ministry. If you come into ministry a rich man, you are going to waste a lot of money. I was with somebody once, I think I told you the story before. In a few days, they spent 3 million naira doing, you know, studio. All right? And I laughed because when, for all the things you see us do here, those two cameras, all right, plus all the lights, it didn't cost us up to 1/3 of that. What's the difference? They had the money, we didn't have it. That's the difference. So when it came to buying cameras, we bought cameras that were not difficult to light because there are different kinds of cameras. There are cameras that they give very high quality images, but you need intense light to bring out that quality. Do you understand my point? All right. So when we're choosing cameras, we chose cameras that are very sensitive to light. And give it, when NTS, I told NTA the camera we're using, NTA Enugu, they said that's what we use also. I did not know that NTA was using that, but we bought it. Why? We didn't have the money. When they said to buy red light, what they call red light, if you buy the Nalaba, it was 300,000 naira for one. I said, guys, let's go to Kenyatta. We arrange our lights for 6,000 naira for two. That is, when you didn't have plenty cash to throw around, you had to download wisdom. Download it by force. If any man lacks wisdom, God, can't you see, we lack both wisdom and money. Combine. Look, by the time people saw us on TV, we may not be at that top level yet, but people are getting blessed all over Africa and beyond. People are getting blessed all over Africa and beyond. There are people who spend more money In fact, you know, sometimes I go to churches and all of that. You see equipment, mixer. You see the amplifier. They say, please, can I get a cassette? No, one of the messages, give me, you can't hear anything.